Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
NASA launched a planetary defense mission. A spacecraft on purpose slammed into an asteroid in order to redirect it. At least that's what I'm reading about all week long. And I could not wait to get David Mestri on. It couldn't be better timing to talk to him. And he's here this morning for Science You May Not Know. David, what the what? I don't understand this. Explain.
I know. This is, well, you know, I mean, for almost 4 billion years, our planet has been slammed by all these different asteroids out there.
Sure.
Guess what? This is the first time we fight back.
This is the first time we take the first stab.
We take the first move.
This is
so
crazy.
So it is a test mission. So we just, so everybody's clear, the asteroid that we are going to impact is not going to be dangerous. It's not going to hurt the Earth, impact the Earth. This is just one test that we're going to perform to see whether or not we could actually, using a satellite, slam into an asteroid and see if we can just knock it out of its orbit just a little bit, and test whether this might actually be a way for us to save ourselves from a massive impactor that may try to slam into the Earth.
Wow. Okay, here's a dumb question, I'm sure, but there's no one on board, right?
No. So the satellite itself is actually about the size of a golf cart. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be sent on its way to what's known as a binary asteroid. And so it's actually two asteroids that are orbiting each other. And so we've got one asteroid, which is the larger asteroid known as Didymos. And then we're actually going to be aiming the satellite at the smaller asteroid known as Dimorphos. And Dimorphos, it's actually kind of a Greek word, which means it looks like it's going to be it's going to look like it's two things.
Mm.
We're going to change its shape, and we're going to change it into something else, Dimorphos. So we're going to change it, and we're going to actually impact it, change its surface, change the look of it, and then we're going to change its orbit. So that's why they decided to name it that. And Dimorphos is about the size of a football stadium. So we're going to take a golf cart, slam it at 15,000 miles per hour, head on into a football-sized stadium asteroid.
I'm just curious. This sounds so fascinating. Why is this the first time we're doing this?
So one of the things that we're doing is NASA has a planetary defense coordination office, and this is actually a new office. So what we've discovered is that the chances that we're going to get hit by an asteroid, they're not zero. And the thing that we're going to need to do is we're going to need to really kind of look around our Earth for those potentially hazardous objects that if they were to hit us, they can cause some damage. Now we know that probably the chances of something the size of an asteroid that knocked out all the dinosaurs,
right?
Yeah, is probably we're probably definitely going to be looking for that. But there are asteroids that are probably potentially the size that could probably knock out like a city, And that's
really,
it's not insignificant. And so what we're doing is that, we're sending special satellites with cameras, and we've got ground-based telescopes, and we're going to basically just look around to see if we can find all the asteroids that are potentially hazardous. Now, if we find all of them, we still have a ways to go. We think we've got about maybe a good 40 to 50% that we think we can catalog. But if we find one, then what do we do about it?
Right.
And so one thing that we can do is we can see if we can knock it out of its orbit so that it turns from an impact to just a near miss.
Wow.
And so that's one of the things that we're hoping to do with DART, the mission that's sent to this binary asteroid. So we just launched it. It's probably going to take about 10 months or so to get there. And then when it arrives, then it's going to have these computers and it's going to go into an autonomous mode, and it's going to steer itself in the direction of the small moon Dimorphos, and it's going to slam into it. And then before it does that, it's going to deploy a small satellite. So it's actually got a second satellite that's on board that's going to just spit out. And this is actually, I think it's Italy's first satellite, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Wow.
It's going to be like the paparazzi of the mission.
Well played.
And it's going to start taking pictures to see, you know, what happened. What did the impact look like? And then on the ground, we're going to observe the asteroid, because we really, it's hard to see the tiny moon Dimorphos. We don't even see it from the ground.
Yeah.
What we did was actually, we saw like a shadow go across the main asteroid Didymos from the ground. And so what we're going to do is we're going to wait after the impact, and we're going to see, did the orbit change?
Interesting.
And so if it did, and we expect it to, you know, we're hoping to.
That's the plan.
To, you know, that's the point. That's the point of this whole mission, this point of this over $300 million mission, is, to see whether or not using kinetic energy, the actual energy of the satellite slamming into the little tiny asteroid, if it's capable of actually changing its orbit.
Wow.
And if we could do that, if we do that enough times to an asteroid, just keep slamming it, we might be able to change its orbit so that in this dance of the solar system, that asteroid, instead of fated to hit us, turns into a near miss, and that's all we need.
I'm curious about one more thing, David, if you don't mind asking. I know you're not part of NASA's team, although I basically in my mind think you are. You know, we're going to slam this thing into an asteroid. I would imagine that destroys it, more or less. Like, we would destroy the satellite, essentially,
yeah,
correct?
So, okay. So it's not our intent to destroy Didymos. That's not and the Didymos system. We're not trying to destroy the moon Dimorphos. So that's not what we're trying to do.
But I guess my question is, like, the actual satellite that we're sending in. I guess my future question is going to be: are we just going to have to keep rebuilding satellites every time we do this? I mean, I'm just curious.
It is entirely possible. So
yeah.
So I mean, you know, like I said, Dimorphos is pretty small. I mean, it's about the size of a football stadium.
Right.
You know, if we're looking at something bigger, then we may need a bigger satellite or some bigger craft to be able to do that. Now, there is another method that we're thinking of as well, and this other method doesn't involve slamming into the asteroid. What this involves is a little tug by a second craft that just follows the asteroid along its orbit, and because it has a mass, its gravitational tug over a long period of time, this constant gravitational tug, could eventually alter the orbit and create that near miss that we're hoping for.
Wow.
And so we just basically just tag along. We just, you know, fly along with this asteroid, the menacing asteroid.
Wow.
And if this satellite just keeps tugging at it for the entirety of that orbit, then eventually we might be able to just slightly change the orbit so that in some time in the future, that orbit has been altered so that we can actually avoid a collision with Earth. And so that's the second way. So we can either really hit it hard and slam it out of its slam a change in its orbit, which we're hoping to do with DART and Dimorphos, or the second, and we haven't tested this one yet. We don't know if it'll work. We haven't tried it. This idea that we have like a really massive, heavy satellite, and its gravity will try to tug it. But, I mean, these asteroids are big. I mean,
yes.
They're really big.
They're nothing to mess with, yeah.
Yeah, so we're hoping that if we can just tug it slowly over a long period of time, like centuries,
it would change its direction.
We'll change its direction, and some, future people on Earth will be grateful.
Yes.
The work that we did to try and save Earth and their Earth of the future. So
there you go.
I hope they're thankful to that.
I hope so, too. And I know I'm thankful for you being on this show each and every week. David Mestre, thank you so much. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Take care.
You too. Many of you have high school kids in your families, whether it's your own children, you are a grandparent, you like going to the games, aunts, uncles, friends, whoever it may be. We've been keeping a very close eye on high school sports since the start of the pandemic, and we're very lucky. We get to have Glenn Lungarini come on the show pretty often to give us the updates whenever there's something that breaks or changes with guidelines. Glenn is the executive director of the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, also known as the CIAC, and he's here now. Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Melissa. Nice to be on your show again.
No, I appreciate having you here. I know it's a busy week. We've got Thanksgiving and everything. But before you start devouring into your food tomorrow, I wanted to talk about some big changes this week that the CIAC announced. What's going on with COVID protocols?
Yeah, we're excited to be able to share out the winter sports guidance that was developed in collaboration with our medical advisors from the CSMS Sports Med Committee, and of course, in collaboration with the Department of Health. So we will be planning full winter sports seasons, including all sports. So we'll be back wrestling this year. We didn't have a competitive season last year. Multi-team events, interstate competition is all okay to go ahead and participate in this year. And after the schools let out for the winter recess, we will have the ability for vaccinated student athletes to participate without wearing a mask at the local school discretion.
So there are a lot of big changes. Let's go through some of them. First and foremost, as you just mentioned, wrestling, for example, didn't even have a season last year. The fact that they are able to compete, had they been practicing, like had they been staying conditioning or anything like that, or have they just been kind of quiet this entire time?
No, they have, Melissa. They came back just shortly after our winter season ended last year. So at the end of March in Connecticut, the wrestling was cleared by the state to begin again. So we've had wrestling competitions through the summer and the fall in club and youth programs. There has been good data that has come out of that in terms of low transmission risk. So we do feel that it's safe for those sport to continue.
That's really exciting. So you say that after their winter breaks, are you talking after the new year going into January?
Actually, it'll be when they start their winter break. So for most schools, that'll be they go on winter break December 23rd. Some okay. go a little bit earlier. So it'll really be over that winter recess between December 24th and January 2nd that we'll see schools have the ability to start that COVID protocol where vaccinated student athletes can play without a mask if it's allowed by their local school districts.
So now what if you're an athlete that is either partially or not vaccinated?
Partially or unvaccinated athletes at this time will continue to participate with a mask. Also, vaccinated athletes who are close contacts or deemed to be close contacts of a known COVID case would still be required to wear a mask for 5 days until they get that test between days 5 and 7 showing that they are negative. So those protocols still remain in place, but the vaccinated would be able to have the option to participate without the mask for the time being. The unvaccinated would still be required to wear a mask.
Now, Glenn Lungarini is here, the executive director of the CIAC, overseeing high school sports across Connecticut. And I'm curious, Glenn, you said that this decision with the CIAC, this was done in conjunction with the health department, the state health department?
Well, everything that our schools do since the onset of the pandemic has really followed the direction of DPH. So our focus has been on getting kids back into school for in-person learning as our primary goal, and then extending those opportunities to extracurricular activities and sports. So just recently, the order or the rule for masking in schools was updated to reflect the current sport guidance. The Department of Health issued their sport guidance for the winter seasons on Monday, along with the CIAC. And if you put our two documents side by side, you're going to see that they're really fairly identical.
I'm just curious, Glenn, the reason I asked that question is, you know, recently Governor Lamont had his first COVID press conference in more than 2 months. Earlier this week, he made mention that we have seen a couple of upticks. He's very nervous about the winter months. He's nervous about the holidays, people getting back together, vaccinated and unvaccinated. So I'm wondering if you think that by December, even January, if you think you guys are going to have to go backwards in these guidelines.
Yeah, our guidelines are always under evaluation, but, you know, I think it's a balance of looking at where we know and understand sources of spread to be, again, in interscholastic sports, in the competitive environment. So when we're talking just about the competitions, we've seen very low rates in Connecticut as well as across the country. And so, you know, we know those to be safe events where they're not high rates of transmission. Of course, we will continue to keep close monitoring of those. And if anything changes, then the guidance is always subject to change.
Now, what if, Glenn, you have a school that they're cool, they're following CIAC, and I don't want to say they're cool like other schools aren't. Let me take that back. If you have a school that's following exactly the direction the CIAC is giving, but you have another school that's like, hey, you know what? I just want to be more on the safe side. I don't know if I'm ready to have some students masked, others who aren't. We're going to keep everybody masked up. What happens if they then are competing against each other? What happens?
Right. So we'll respect whatever the decision is at that local school district when we're participating on their campus. So if school A is going to keep all kids masks regardless of vaccination status and school B travels to school A, school B would wear masks regardless of vaccination status. It's not that different from where we are with spectator attendance right now as well. I think what we're starting to see is the ability for local school districts and local control to evaluate the COVID climate in their region, in their district, and start to make decisions based on those climates. You know, we saw that with swimming and volleyball state tournaments this fall, where spectator attendance in those areas were limited based on what was allowed by their local health department.
So what does spectator, are there any changes for fans, for spectators?
There are not any changes for fans. We do not have any limitations set by the CIAC. However, we will respect whatever the local health department and school districts set as their limitations.
And Glenn Lungarini, executive director of the CIAC, is here. Last question. I was reading, I think, through some of the guidelines, and they were talking about some of the competitors who maybe are they're like isolated almost. And when I say isolated, I mean that if you're a diver, for example, a gymnast, somebody who's doing track and field and doing like the jumping over the, you know what I'm talking about. You're following what I'm saying, that they don't actually have to wear masks. Was it regardless of their vaccination status? Because they're basically they're by themselves competing. Is that accurate?
That's correct. So there were two criteria where, regardless of vaccination status, you can take a mask off. One was any time that it was deemed that wearing the mask could be a safety risk. So, for example, grappling and wrestling, it could be performing gymnastics events when you're doing the pole vault or the high jump. So any time that the mask can either become a choking hazard or could move over the eyes and create a safety risk, you would not be required to wear a mask regardless of vaccination status. And then also, as you said, there's events where you're independent. When you're throwing a shot put, when you're doing the long jump, you are by yourself in those events, so you can complete that event and then put the mask on immediately after.
Well, Glenn Lungarini, some really big announcements this week. If anybody wants to read through them all or see just exactly what the CIAC has put out there, is there a website or anything people could go to?
www.ciacsports.com, and there is a banner right at the top of that page that has our sports guidance.
Glenn, you're the best. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family.
Happy Thanksgiving, Melissa. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's time to get up and get moving. Workout Wednesday. Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
All right, so I know last week we talked about some ways to sort of take your time, pre-plan what you're going to eat tomorrow. And for some of you, that works. That totally works. It doesn't work for me. Sorry. Thanksgiving is like one of the only days of the year that I feel like we don't get to eat stuffing all the time. We don't get to have homemade gravy, all the things that are going to be on the table tomorrow. I'm pre-predicting that I'm going to have probably somewhere around a 25 to 3,000 calorie meal. That's what I'm predicting. So my question this morning, if you guys are being honest with yourselves and you feel like you're falling into the same category I am, what if you blow it? What if you feel like you completely blow it tomorrow at Thanksgiving? What can you do to mentally, emotionally, and physically get back on track? So for that, of course, I turn to Amy Linus, our wellness coach. Good morning, Amy. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Oh, man, there's so many things you can do to kind of get yourself back on track. One of those is to stick to your routine. So, yes, most people are like, oh, Thanksgiving's here. I'm going to eat like I'm going to the electric chair. That's kind of what I do, too. So I've had to come up with ways to reel it back in. Yes, 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 yes. So if you can't follow the rule of thumb of graze, don't gobble, and you just gobble it all down anyway, at the end of Thanksgiving dinner, that L-tryptophan in the turkey is going to make you feel really sleepy and tired. What I would suggest is going outside, getting a nice walk in, even though you're not going to feel like it. You want to take a little snooze first. That's fine. But get up, get moving, get outside and start burning through some of that stored glycogen from all the excess carbohydrates you're eating. That's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is that night before you go to bed, take a nice little 5 to 10 minute, you know, to yourself to meditate. A nice little meditation to clear your mind, clear your brain, and kind of get yourself back on track mentally and spiritually will help too. I know that sounds a little nutty, but it actually works, believe it or not.
Oh, and I don't think it sounds nutty. I don't think that sounds nutty. I think that sounds really nice, because I do think you're right, Amy. When you don't take the time to mentally sort of get yourself in check, mm-hmm. you sort of keep going with the pattern you just created that day. Even though you may be in a great routine, you sort of reset yourself when you do like what we're probably going to do tomorrow. And if you just kind of let that day go and end the way that you started it, then it does sort of spill into the day after, the week after, the month after, and you go, wait, how did this happen? Where did that
yeah,
happen?
Yeah, it's true. You're like, where did this extra 8 to 10 pounds come from? I just went through the holidays. That's what happened.
Right. Exactly.
I was joking around with somebody yesterday. I'm like, guys, don't forget to turn your scales back 10 to 15 pounds.
I love that. It's so true. It's, you know, and it's funny, Amy, because when we were chatting earlier and talking about what, you know, we were going to discuss this morning, you know, I think it's hard sometimes to admit, like I talked to one of our other colleagues this morning, Storm and Norman Gino, and I said to him, you know, he and I are trying to hold each other accountable. Like, we're going to text each other and say, you know, hey, I'm eating this and taking pictures of it so we can hold each other accountable. But he goes, Melissa, I'm probably going to drink. And I said, yeah, well, I'm probably going to eat. Like, I'm probably going to eat more than I'm supposed to. But immediately, I after talking to you, I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I recently told my listeners I started at Orange Theory. I've already booked a class for 6:30 Friday morning. Like, that's happening.
See,
right?
You're staying on track. Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. You're not letting yourself slide. You got to stay into those routines. Mm-hmm. It's like being a little kid. You got to keep that bedtime consistent, or you're going to be really cranky and mm-hmm. fall off the wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. No kidding. I mean, I'm curious, Amy Linus, who's our wellness coach here on the show. You know, you mentioned getting out and just even walking a little bit. You're talking about just literally getting your body moving. That could be the slightest thing. I'm just curious, like, why that makes such a difference.
Yeah, it makes such a difference, because when you're taking in all those excess carbohydrates at Thanksgiving dinner, you have a lot of glycogen and glucose and sugar in your system. And in order to burn through that, you have to exercise. So you have to get moving. So if you're not moving, that's just going to sit, and eventually it's going to be converted into body fat. So to keep that from happening, you got to burn through everything you're taking in.
Mm. Even if you're somebody who does like higher – I would say, like, even if you do more intense workouts, even a walk is simple enough that it would start to burn some of that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're into working out after Thanksgiving, by all means, go for it. But I'd be a little on the sick side if I tried to do that. Like, for example, my family used to play kickball every Thanksgiving. Like, after I was a photographer. I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm like, watching you guys is just making me sick.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, you've got some of those families who do, like, the touch football right after they eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly can't really anymore, but I used to when I was a kid, and I don't know how we rebounded, but I don't think we ate as much when we were kids because we weren't adventurous.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you're right. It was just the staple items. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to have some dessert.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And the dessert always came after the football game. So it was fine.
Yep.
It wasn't
exactly.
A big deal. Now, what about desserts, true. Amy? What if you're okay with the, I'll have a little turkey, I'll have a little bit of this, but you splurge on the dessert. Does that get mm-hmm. translated differently? Like, do sweets translate differently in your body than carbs would?
Well, they're typically a lot higher in sugar. So, yes. So simple sugars are going to cause you to have a spike in your blood sugar, like your insulin. So when that happens, after ingesting it, like 20 to 30 minutes after it, you can actually tend to feel a little hypoglycemic and hungry again, because your blood sugar spikes so much. Now it's dropping back down. So then we kind of find ourselves back at the Thanksgiving Day table again, because looking for more food. So it's like a never-ending cycle. So I've urged you guys, whenever that feeling kicks in, to have like a glass of water or something, you know, something a little bit better, like your vegetables and your turkey. Try to stay away from that heavy, heavy stuff, because you just loaded yourself up with a bunch of sugar and carbohydrates and fat from that yummy, delicious dessert. So try to reel it back in slightly when you're going for your second round of food.
Mm-hmm. That actually, I'd be more aware actually of the dessert, just because when you go back for your second or third dinner of the day, because we all, a lot of us do it.
We all do it. Yeah.
That I feel like
is kidding.
Right. Exactly. But that's where I feel like you have those 3,000 to 5,000 calorie days is when you go back for the second, third or fourth plate, because you had the high sugar uptick. Like that's kind of something I'd be more aware of. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I told you years ago, I tracked my my intake
my
Fitness Pal. Oh, it was like 5,000 calories. I said, whoa.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I was like,
brutal.
I'll be burning this off until next year.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're like, I'm going to need 2 months just to like get myself back down just from one meal. Crazy. Crazy.
Exactly.
Well, Amy, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about the work that you do and the products that you guys sell?
Yeah, so come find us, www.fitbodyvibe.com on the web. And we're also on Instagram and Facebook under Fit Body Vibe. And YouTube. We're on YouTube as well under Fit Body Vibe.
Yes.
A lot of helpful information, a lot of videos. And if there's anything you guys want to hear more of or see posted, let us know. We're happy to help. And we really appreciate you guys having us on and hope to see you next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be here, Amy, and I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Melissa. I hope you guys do, too.
Thank you, Lovey. I'll talk to you next week. You know him from News 12 Sports. You can catch him every evening starting in the 4 o'clock hour, even through the 10 o'clock broadcast. It is Justin DeVellis here on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM. Did you lose your voice there, Justin?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm battling.
That's okay.
I'm battling.
You're doing
so I might
great.
Sound a little weird, but.
No, it's okay.
I got
it's
my
okay.
tea. I got my post-it notes. We're ready to rock.
I mean, I'm ready to rock and roll. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little disappointed, though, to be honest. I'm feeling a little down. I thought the old alma mater would reach out to maybe, you know, have me give the pregame speech before the big Thanksgiving Eve football game. I'm not salty about it.
No.
But, you know, just a little disappointed.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
What is your alma mater?
Newtown.
Oh.
Newtown High. Big one against Massac tonight.
Dang. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of burned for you. Oh, man, that's insane. Wow, that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, it's, I mean, probably as far as like the play, it's always a big game. It's a big rivalry.
Yeah.
But even if you look at like playoff implications, like it's huge. Like Newtown needs it. Massac needs it. Both teams, it's a must win to have a shot to get into the state playoffs, the postseason, right?
Wow.
But what's crazy to me is like, you know, this almost hasn't been a rivalry. Like the last 8 times on Thanksgiving Eve, Newtown has beaten Massac. You got to go back a decade to find the last time Massac has actually beaten Newtown. And in those last 8 games, get this stat of the day: the points. It's been 218-87
in the last eight years
in favor of Newtown in the last 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that game's tonight, 6 o'clock, Blue and Gold Stadium.
But Massac has a shot tonight, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think they have a shot. I think they do. If you remember a couple weeks ago, Massac played New Fairfield.
Yes.
And they fell down like 28 points. I think they were down like 25, 28 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Massac came back in the second half. They scored 3-4 touchdowns.
Wow.
So the score was like 28-27. And then Massac could have kicked the extra point to say, you know, all right, we're going to go into overtime. We're going to keep it tied. They said, They go for 2. They get it. They win the game. I think in the paper the next day, it was like the Monroe Miracle.
Yeah.
It was like the headline of the paper.
I remember seeing
awesome.
That. I remember that.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so I don't think, like, something like that, I feel like that wouldn't happen to just like a, I think there's a little, like, a little magic.
There's some fire there.
There's a little magic going on. So I think it's going to be a good one tonight in Newtown. I don't know. Maybe the Panthers bring it out. I'm just saying those kind of things, like the 28-point comeback, I feel like that means something.
Right.
Right? Like it wouldn't just happen to a team that's not going to make it
right.
the postseason.
Well, and it's so hard. I feel like I'm kind of asking you as a broadcaster how hard that is to do sports and to not let your alma mater get in. Like I know for me, whenever things come up about Laurelton Hall, I'm always like, I just I always think because that's my heart. That's my soul. That's literally what defines me here in Connecticut
and it's
whenever they come up and I have to stay even keeled and go good luck to both sides
but it's hard.
How do you do that? How do you go to a game like tonight and just be like, I have to just be here to do my job, I can't cheer for Newtown?
I mean, the fact that I don't know. It's gotten better over time.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I've been, you know, I haven't been in high school in a while, and obviously,
true,
like you said, the heart and soul. But I don't know. I don't think there's a right way to do it. I don't have any secret for that. You cover so many games,
right,
that it's like, all right, you know, over time.
Right.
It just kind of.
Well, we just heard Mayor Blake come on a couple minutes ago. Obviously, a big, longtime tradition in Milford, the two high schools in Milford. We heard it from Ansonia. They've got their big game. I mean, Thanksgiving is typically the big rivalry games that we see all across Fairfield County, essentially.
Yeah. And Jonathan Law had a crazy Powder Puff football game last night.
I saw that. I saw that. That was very cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
Great.
Where was that when I was in high school? I would have loved to be on Powder Puff. That would have been very cool.
Yeah, I went to one in Norwalk last night. That was good. Your question, to get back to it, your question was, I'm trying to remember.
There's just so many things going on for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's rivalry.
Well,
it's rivalry day tomorrow.
And we were talking about, we broke it down like yesterday on News 12.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go check that out, you can go to News 12 CT.
News12.com. Right, News12.com.
And yeah, we got on the touchscreen and everything. We broke down like playoff scenarios and everything. Two other big games tonight, Fairfield Prep at West Haven.
Oh,
okay,
it's always a big one.
Fairfield Prep has clinched the spot. West Haven, they need to win in order to get in. They haven't clinched just yet.
But that's also
they
just
could
bragging
still get
rights.
In with a loss.
Bragging rights.
Yeah.
Prep
and Prep's
Notre
had
Dame.
Such a great season. And it's going to be a great game because both teams have like 6-7 wins.
Wow.
And then Notre Dame Fairfield, okay, they play at Pomperog tonight. They win. They are in the state playoffs for the first time since 2002.
Wow.
Two decades.
Yeah, they want it.
Yeah, and Pomperog hasn't won yet. I saw them last week. Notre Dame Fairfield should win, and there's a lot riding on that game.
Wow.
And then Thanksgiving Day. I mean, there's so many games, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Joe at Trumbull. Excuse me. The
okay.
classic like game in Trumbull, the battle for Trumbull. Staples at Greenwich. Another just classic rivalry. And then Darien New Canaan, the Turkey Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those tickets sold out. They had people, you know, buying tickets days before the game. So it's going to be tough to find a parking spot there. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But that game's huge. And I'm excited. And we got some things up our sleeve for Thanksgiving on News 12. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
And again, you can catch Justin on News 12. He comes on starting in the 4 o'clock show all the way throughout in and out until like even the 10 o'clock broadcast. So which do you think is going to be the biggest nail biter between tonight and then through to tomorrow? Which game? If you had to make a prediction.
If I had to make a prediction, I want to say St. Joe Trumbull.
Yeah.
I want to say that because Trumbull needs to win in order to have a shot at the state playoffs. And I think they're really good. They have one of the best players in the state, in Corbin Smith. St. Joe has had a great season, but I really think Trumbull can beat them. I really think they can. I mean, we saw when St. Joe played Darien, like they were a little banged up, but they had problems in the second half especially. I think Trumbull could expose like a lot of those problems, and it's at home. It's a home game for Trumbull. So many people are going to be out there. So I think it's going to come down to like a game in the fourth quarter. It's going to be like a one possession game.
Wow.
With Trumbull, I think has a shot. I'm going to call it right now. I think Trumbull wins the game.
Wow.
I'm going to call it right now.
Wow. Well, I mean, to be fair, though, I'd be very careful because Justin last week said that the Dolphins were going to lose last weekend,
no,
and then they
didn't,
and then I changed your mind, and then I changed your mind about it. And then the Dolphins won. So, I mean,
yes.
Just,
and
you know,
yes, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
To recap,
for that.
Me and you went 2-1 in our picks last week in
we
the
did.
NFL.
Yeah.
Brings us to 5-2, the overall record. Let's go. I mean, who do you like this weekend? Do you like anyone? It's so hard because the Giants just played, so it's like now we have to pick the Giants. It's like tough,
right?
And they fired their offensive coordinator.
I was just gonna say, and they just got rid of a
yeah,
yeah.
With that
so
being
huge.
Said, I think they're gonna win on Sunday.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see what. I mean, we'll see if Justin is right. We'll see. We'll find out.
Giants plus 3.5.
Okay.
I've been 0-2 picking against the Patriots. My only loss have come picking against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick against the Patriots again on Sunday. I think the final score of that game, 24-20. Okay.
Wow,
I'm
you're very specific.
I'm going to take the Titans plus 6.5
wow.
in New England. And then I'm torn with Jets and Texans. I'm torn.
Good
Zach
Lord.
Wilson's coming back. Texans just had a big win against the Titans. Do they keep that up or do they completely flip it?
I hate to say it, only because I have so many friends who are Jets fans, including our own Paul Pacelli. I just don't see the Jets coming through with anything. I mean, the fact that we beat them last weekend was enough for me to say, come on.
But you can't trust the Texans either. Like, you pick them, but it's like, can I trust? They're both 2-8. Teams are 2-8.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Do you want to just go with all underdogs? I mean, if we go with the Jets, that would make all underdogs for Sunday.
I mean, it would definitely be something to talk about.
Yeah, which have been good.
Hey, you know, fine. God. Well, all right, I went against the Jets last week just because of the Dolphins. What are you doing? You're saying no.
Houston. -2.5.
Fine.
And if they prove us wrong, it's a win. And then we could talk about the Jets win.
Fair enough.
But let's go with Houston, -2.5.
Fine. All right, we'll go with it. There you go. Justin, we always appreciate having you on. News 12's Justin DeVellis with sports, of course. He's on starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon until the 10 o'clock broadcast on News 12. You can catch him there every weekday evening. Thank you, Justin. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Have
Thanks,
a great
friend.
Turkey day.
Hey,
you
too.
And everybody out there.
Yes,
Thank
and
you.
Eat a lot of food because
yes.
you deserve it.
Eat a lot of turkey.
Yes.
And we got some tricks up our sleeve. News 12 tonight and Thursday. We'll be on Thanksgiving. So
got all the football.
You want to tune in.
Hey, you got all the local football. Where else would you go?